Yes.
Yes.
All right, then we're recording. It is 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is the January 6th, 2021 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kottkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as your land use hearing examiner. And my job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, which include recommendations. Yeah. Recommendations for approval of development agreements and also conditional use permits. That's what we have on.
I think so. I was just wondering how it was going to work.
Who's also talking? Is that you, Andrew?
Not me.
All right. I'd ask everybody to put yourself on mute because I'm hearing somebody talk in the background. In any event, let's see where I was. The hearing process has certain rules, but I'll try to conduct the meeting in a relaxed and informal manner, but we still have a procedure that we're going to use. For each item on the agenda, staff will present its report to make whatever recommendations that it wishes to make. Then the applicant or the applicant's representative is given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. The applicant does have the burden of proof to show compliance with all of the applicable rules and regulations. And if somebody from the public came to testify, they'll be given that chance to do so. And if there is any testimony in opposition to the project, I will give the applicant an opportunity to submit whatever rebuttal testimony they wish to submit. When you testify, what I'm going to do is have you state your name and address. We'll take each item separately, I'll just have you unmute yourself, and then I'll recognize you, and then I'll have you state your name and address. I'll swear you in as a witness if you're going to give evidence. I'd ask that you keep your testimony relevant to the application that we're talking about and not to other issues beyond the scope of the proposal. And if you have anything in writing that you want to submit today, you may do so. Now, I have the option following this hearing to keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted. But in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. If you are going to testify, just make sure that when you unmute yourself that you don't have any noises going on in the background that might make it difficult for everyone to hear you. Now, except as provided by the Chelan County Code regarding requests to reopen the hearing and requests for reconsideration, my decision on the conditional use permits is final and conclusive unless they are appealed. Appeals are by means of a land use petition action, and that appeal would have to be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of the decision. My recommendation to the county commissioners on the development agreement is not subject to an appeal. It's not a final decision. The county commissioners will make the final decision on that matter. I've reviewed all the items on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in any of the properties or the proposals to be heard today, and I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider each item on today's agenda. And outside of receiving and reviewing the staff reports for each item, along with all the file materials, which would include the draft development agreement on the first item, there's agency comments, there's public comments, there's videos on one of the items and photographs. Other than receiving and reviewing essentially the entire planning staff file for each item, I've not had any communication regarding any of the items that are on today's agenda. So with those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as a hearing examiner for any item on today's agenda, you need to unmute yourself and state so at this time. All right, hearing none, we'll turn to the first item on today's agenda. As I indicated, this is a request for a recommendation on a development agreement for short plat 2020-007 for Shelley Ward. For a request to defer frontage improvements on Summit Boulevard consistent with the conditions of approval of that short plat decision. For the record, I'll admit into the record at this time by this reference that draft development agreement. The decision and all the application materials for SP 20-007. All of that will be admitted into the file at this time by this reference. And I assume, Mr. Bruner, you are here to present on behalf of Chelan County?
Yes. So basically, this is just a a development agreement to allow for frontage improvements to be deferred until such time that the county does a road project and the applicant would pay, the applicant and any lot owner at the time would pay their proportionate share for any of those frontage improvements with the road project if it does happen.
And I generally don't ask this, but is there a time limit on the deferral, or is it just open-ended?
Typically, there is a time limit. It's either 15 or 25 years, and I'm sorry, I don't remember which it is, but there is a time limit, yeah.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to present on this?
No.
All right, thank you very much. Is Ms. Ward here? Ms. Ward, I saw that you unmuted yourself. Did you want to provide any testimony today? Am I the only one that can't hear anything?
No, we can't hear you either.
All right. Ms. Ward, did you want to provide any testimony today?
It is a 15-year agreement. Can you hear me?
No.
Not well, but I can hear you. So I need to, if you're going to testify, I need to have you state your name and your address, and then I'm going to put you under oath. Did you want to provide any testimony today?
No. Unless you have a question. This is Shelley Ward, 553 Summit Boulevard, Hampson.
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay.
So thank you very much. Did any member of the public come to testify on this matter?
Yes, Mike Adelman is here.
All right. This is on the development agreement for the short plat. Is that correct?
No, this is. I came on late. This will be the Sells Motel.
Yeah. Okay. We're not there yet.
Okay. Sorry.
Yep. No problem. All right. Anybody else that would like to testify from the public on this proposed development agreement? All right, what I'm gonna do then, Mr. Bruner, is I'm gonna close the public record portion of this hearing and I'll have a recommended decision out within the next 10 working days. All right, we'll turn now to the next item on today's agenda. This is a conditional use permit given application number CUP 20-008. This is the application for the addition of 13 RV sites and the continued operation of a minor RV park on property located in or outside of Cashmere that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. Now, for the record, what I'm going to do is admit into the record at this time by this reference that staff report, actually I'm going to admit all the versions of the staff report, but the third amended staff report is admitted into the record. There are also agency comments, there are public comments, there's all the application materials and noticing documents, there's photographs and site plan drawings. And just last night, actually not until this morning, because Ms. Norton, you were up way too late last night working on this. I have the letter to the hearing examiner by the applicant's attorney and an attachment to that letter, which is the applicant's response to the comments within the staff report. So I'm going to admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference and turn this matter over to Ms. Strother for the staff presentation.
Thank you. This is an application submitted for a conditional use application to operate an RV park on an already existing mobile home park that was permitted by a special use permit in 1963. The applicant is proposing to add 13 RV spaces to the property. The subject property is located at 3601 South Road, Cashmere. The property is within the Residential Resource 5 zoning district. Throughout our review staff has had concerns regarding the intensity of the project in conjunction with the surrounding properties and whether the use is ultimately compatible. However, the Chalet and Douglas Health District approved additional RVs. Based on the comments from Public Works, all access points on Red Apple Road, except for the emergency vehicle access, shall be blocked by a fence. To date, the applicant has not submitted an internal road access necessary to access the mobile homes that are currently using Red Apple Road as a point of access. The International Building Code does not recognize RVs as habitable space, and they cannot meet energy codes, snow load, or structural integrity to provide safe housing. If approved, the applicant shall ensure and maintain no skirting of the RVs. All RVs shall be in operable condition with active license tabs. No additional structures are permitted. The subject property is within an earthquake fault line and require a geo assessment. If approved, the geo assessment would be required at time of building permit submittal. The applicant has an outstanding code violation, and that code violation number is CE 2014-0026 for a 6-foot tall fence in the front yard setback. Pursuant to Chelan County Code 16.14.020, denial of permit, the department may deny a permit application when the property has been found in violation and remains in violation of any ordinance, regulation, or resolution. Therefore, staff recommends denial.
All right, thank you very much. Is the applicant ready to proceed?
The applicant is ready.
All right, Ms. Norton, can you state your name and an address for the record?
Julie Norton, attorney at Ogden Murphy Wallace. Address is 1 5th Street, Suite 200, Wenatchee, Washington.
All right, do you want to be put under oath? Will you be providing any testimony or evidence today?
I'll throw in a few facts, so you might as well swear me in.
All right, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I swear.
Thank you very much. All right, and again, you're here as the agent authorized to appear and speak on behalf of the property owner and applicant today, is that correct?
That is correct. The applicant is here with me at my office. It's not expected that he'll testify, but if there are questions that I can't answer, he may be asked to supplement or provide some testimony after I speak, but that would be responsive to any questions you ask.
All right, okay, thank you very much. And what would you like to tell me?
All right, so I think it's important to have a little bit of background. Just for the record, this application's been a little bit like navigating this COVID pandemic. Every time we think we're getting somewhere, the goal lines seem to keep moving, which there's been a little bit of frustration, as you can probably tell based on the number of continuances. So it is important that you have a bit of the background just in processing this. As staff mentioned, this property is at 3601 South Motel Road. It's zoned RR5. It was developed in the 1940s as a motel with a total of 7 units at that time. There's been no physical changes to those units. They've not been converted, and there's allegations in the staff report that there's been some level of conversion to duplexes. That's not actually accurate. They were built as separate units. It's only relevant to the extent that they referenced it in the staff report. It's not even part of the permit application that is pending, but current use seems to have been a big hangup in this process. So it is important to understand there's not been a conversion. These were separately built units. They were used for hotel. When the hotel ceased being operated in approximately the 1960s due to the realignment of Highway 2, then they became used for longer term rentals. And this is a history that was supported by the letter that was submitted by Jack Rowland, dated December 1st, 2020. So just to provide some context for that pre-existing use that's sort of referenced in the report. The property does include 9 mobile homes. These homes have been in their location for decades and predate the existing applicable zoning codes. Arguably, they're legal non-conforming uses under Chelan County Code 1197. They were also affirmatively approved to be in their current location by the county in response to a code enforcement action that occurred in approximately 1998. So those are in their location permitted uses in some ways. Again, only reference that they are not part of the application, but reference it because the current placement of them seems to be a hang up for the planning department. So this property, you may be familiar with it because it's been the subject of a prior conditional use permit application that is substantially similar to the one that's pending before the hearing examiner. You previously approved conditional use permit application 2014-326. We would ask that if this conditional use permit is not already part of the record that's been admitted by planning staff, that it be included in the record.
I'm not going to include that entire file into the record.
Correct. No, we just want the final decision and the supporting staff report from CUP 2014-326.
Well, this is not that application. This is a new application, correct?
This is correct. And the only reason that
and it has differences between this application and CUP 2014-326. Is that correct?
Very minor, yes.
All right. I'm not going to admit into the record the prior staff report and my prior decision. My prior decision is a public record. So to that extent, I don't know that it needs to be admitted into the record here. It is a public record, but I'm not going to admit the staff report into the record.
Okay. Well, then I'll speak to it just a little since it is a public record. CP 2014-326 was a substantially similar application to the pending application. It proposed a higher density with 18 mobile homes and 52 parking spaces. It was analyzed by the planning department and the hearing examiner under the same standards that are at issue in this. And by substantially similar, it was virtually the identical site plan, but drawn with less formality. It was 18 RVs. I believe I said that. It was analyzed under 1193.040 and 1193.330 for the minor RVs. And it was recommended for approval by the planner at that time. And it was actually approved by the hearing examiner. The analysis in that report, which again is substantially similar to what's at issue, all the same features, just with less density, the less density being in this application, are the same. It was never developed, however, under that. So in theory, we could have an existing CUP on the property for a minor RV park. The problem being, for whatever reason, that CUP was processed with a tourist use component that was added by the planning department unbeknownst to the applicant. He was not applying for tourist use, and that is analyzed under code section 1193.370. Tourist use is not permitted in RR5. So to operate per the previously approved permit, he would have been in violation of the permit. So it was, instead of appealing it, the director at the time and the applicant discussed that it would just be amended because they agreed that you couldn't operate that in the applicable zone. Seemed easy enough. Well, lo and behold, turnover at the planning department happens and the amendment never occurs. The appeal period expires. And so that conditional use permit expired or was abandoned. And that's why we're here. Nothing has changed since that application was submitted and approved. The code hasn't changed. The existing uses on the property haven't changed. And the site plan has only changed to the extent it has reduced the capacity of the RVs and the parking. So it seemed like a no-brainer sort of going into this. If you've got a previously approved for virtually identical use. And that's the only reason that we claim there's any relevance to that prior prior application and the analysis within it. So the applicant approached planning department in 2019 to submit this current pending application, was turned away without really a justification. And that's when our office got involved. We met with the planning department in December of 2019 to figure out what exactly is going on, what we need to do to get this application submitted. With their consultation, he was finally able to submit the pending application on March 3rd, 2020. It included the detailed and professionally prepared survey, requested lower density than has previously been approved for the same property, and was deemed complete on March 20th. Agency comments received in response to the application included creation of conditions for approval, but none suggested a need for denial. A staff report was issued in July 2020 by the planner of record, which worked closely with the applicant and approved the CUP, or recommended approval of the CUP with conditions that the applicant was willing at that time to accept. And this was done with an analysis of 1193.040 and 1193.330, finding that there was consistency with those statutes. Just days before the hearing, however, for whatever reason, a new planner reviewed the file and prepared a substantially amended staff report that for the first time, and again, unbeknownst to the applicant, cited a variety of new factors and requirements and recommended denial. So we have now spent the last several months working closely with the planning department to try and figure out what the issues are, what we can do, because this is a permitted use in the zone with the CUP, and a CUP has been previously granted. It seems that every time we meet and come to terms on something, there's a new requirement added. For example, in this third amended staff report, this idea that the prior code violation that the applicant was unaware of would be the linchpin hangup. This was a first to us. He wasn't given notice of that, and it's a fence height violation that would be fixed upon further development of the conditional use permit. And I'll put it out there that in 2014 he was alleged to be in violation at that time, and it was not, there was a pending code violation, and that was not a hang up to the approval. So last night, trying to figure out the best way to handle this without belaboring everything, I did submit a sort of a cover letter that outlines where I think we've boiled down the three big issues to approval are with this, what I hope is helpful, a version of the staff report that I've put into a Word document that is redlined with our comments to really just draw the hearing examiner's eye to where the little hangups and details are, because we've been through this with the planning department so many times. Ultimately, going to their analysis of 1193.040, they're claiming in items 1 and 2 that the general conditional use permit criteria are not met because it cannot meet all the criteria in 1193.330, which is the code section applicable to minor RV parks. However, if you go down to the staff analysis of 1193.040 in the same staff report, they've not recommended denial or claimed that any condition is not met. So it's confusing how they're claiming we haven't met 1193.030 when their very analysis below appears to indicate we've met all the elements of 1193.030. What they're citing as potential failures in that particular section is the mobile home setbacks. The mobile homes aren't part of this application. They are within 25 feet of Red Apple Road. They've been permitted to be there. And the treatment given in the prior staff in the prior application, which we would ask that the hearing examiner adopt in this application is that you have the authority under 1193.330.10 to adopt what you would, or to determine on a case-by-case basis what, whether parking will be allowed in that front yard setback, which was previously allowed, and whether fencing is to be required and or can be located in that front yard setback. Again, the mobile homes are not actually in a part of this application, but to the extent they're claiming that it needs to be denied because we can't meet a 25-foot setback, there are options to get around it, which have been used before. And the RVs that are the actual subject of the application meet all setbacks. They're not actually building spaces, so they're not subject to setback requirements, but regardless, they meet all the setbacks. So just based on my comments that are interlineated in there, there's plenty of basis to find that both conditions one and two of 1193.040 have been met by the applicant. There's comments to an internal road access not having been submitted. However, we also, there should be comments of record from the planning department, or from the Public Works Department as of October 28th, 2020, that indicated the site plan was accurate, which shows internal roads, and that they were comfortable with all access points and whatnot. Even if that remains an issue, rather than a denial, it can be a condition of approval, which I think they did indicate, you know, as a condition of approval if this does get approved. And so we would ask that if there is any concern regarding internal road access, that it be a condition of approval versus a basis for denial. The other issue, the third issue that seems to be the hang up is the consistency with the zone. This is the only other item that really appears to be an argument for denial. Again, same use for the same property that has been previously approved. A minor RV park is permitted via a CUP in this zone. The property is zoned RR5. The neighboring properties are used for orchard. However, those are now non-conforming uses with the exception of one that is still in zoned agricultural. All of the adjacent property is now zoned RR5 as well. So it is consistent with the comp plan that promotes increased recreation and tourist use. It's consistent with neighborhood or orchards in the area that may have on-site worker housing. This property would enable individuals to locate RVs for sort of a seasonal period if necessary or desired. So it is consistent with the zone, and that was actually what was determined in the first original staff report for this application that is now subsequently kind of the opinion of the planner has changed on that, but we believe it is consistent. The idea of a conditional use permit is to allow uses that may be inconsistent to locate so long as they are conditioned to minimize impacts. And we believe with the conditions proposed, the impacts would be minimized. Speaking of the proposed conditions, it's kind of jumping ahead. We are in agreement. The applicant is in agreement with all of the proposed conditions. However, some may be unnecessary because of Public Works confirmation that the site plan is accurate and that the access points have been demonstrated. There is reference. Well, I'll go to the conditions. So condition six, we disagree with that there should be an after the fact permit for conversion. As I mentioned at the very outset, there has not been any conversion of the existing units. They have been, they were built as they stand now. There have not been physical changes to those. It's not fatal. If that's required, we would live with it, but we don't believe it's a necessary condition. It's not part of the application at this time. Condition nine says pursuant to RCW or Chelan County Code Section 1193.030, no recreational vehicle may be located on site for longer than 90 days. This is not a requirement found in the code. It is a requirement desired by the planner. And under LNI regulations, maximum RV stays are up to 180 days. So if there's to be a limitation on the number of days, which we don't think there should be in this application, we would propose that it be 180 days to match state requirements. But the applicant is aware that, that the RV use is not a substitute for permanent housing. There's reference to site plan updates that need to occur and or that the parking needs to be removed. However, we've already provided the site plan that shows the parking that has been removed. So we just think that might be an obsolete comment. That comes into play at 33.1. And I believe, hang on, I'm getting signs. This
had been proposed here, but the system tank was moved here. Right. No parking.
So the parking has been resolved. So that's, and I point these out in for ease of reference in my letter with attachment. So I won't go into every single one of them. But aside from that, we are agreeable to all the conditions and are hopeful that due to the lack of finding of any inconsistencies in 1193.330, that the hearing examiner will approve this conditional use permit application.
All right, I don't have any questions. Thank you very much for your presentation. Was there anything for Mr. Howder? Did he want to make any testimony?
I'm getting a head shake now.
All right, terrific. So we're gonna turn this matter over to the public now. I'm gonna start with Ms. Green and then we'll go to other members of the public that are here. But Ms. Green, did you want to offer any testimony today?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Could you state your name and an address for the record?
Yes, Michelle Green, attorney at Gatens Green Weidenbeck, address 305 Applets Way, Cashmere, Washington.
And will you be providing any testimony today, evidence?
I will not.
Okay, so I will not swear you in as a witness. And so what would you like to tell? You are here as an agent on behalf of somebody today?
That's correct. I'm here on behalf of Dale Jones.
All right. And what would you like to tell me?
Our comments are going to be very limited because we think the staff report thoroughly addresses the issues as well as the summary of the public comments provided by numerous neighbors in opposition to this project. As the staff report identified, there are a number of prior code violations as well as existing current outstanding code violations. The staff report identifies a number of issues of inconsistencies with the county code and zoning requirements for this type of application, including that the property or the project can't meet applicable zoning setback requirements. There are water quality issues identified due to previous septic failures. Landscaping and buffer requirements aren't met. Significant to my client is that the intensity of the use proposed by this project is not compatible with surrounding properties. That's addressed both in the number of public comments provided by not only my client, but as well as other neighbors, as well as the materials summarized in the staff report as well. The project doesn't meet adequate measures for health, safety, welfare. And there are a number of issues and information that's been requested by the staff that's identified in the staff report that has not been provided by the applicant so as to provide a complete information that would demonstrate compliance with applicable zoning. So for all of those reasons, and as summarized in the staff report, we'd request that you deny this application.
All right, thank you very much. All right, Mr. Adelman, since you jumped in the last hearing, I'll give you the next opportunity to speak. Would you like to present any testimony today?
Yes, I would. Mike Adelman, residence 3578 Red Apple Road.
All right, Mr. Adelman, I'm going to have you raise your right hand for me. Sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, now what would you like to tell me?
I would like to tell you that words are one thing and actions another, as being a neighbor next door. I've been there since 1980. And the car parking, which has been discussed related to the Red Apple Road, I have a road just adjoining that. Cars are parked continuously on the road, and there's pictures that I've sent in that are part of evidence, I believe, in the staff report. Daily, you can see people park, kids playing between cars, which is a liability issue to people plus the county. The owner has had that property after the last application. The weeds are so high in that thing, you can't even see across it. They are now cut now. We have seen drug use on the road right in front of the house where they have their burners and early in the morning and doing their drug thing right there in front, drive by it. The sewer system, there's been an outhouse that's now removed with somebody's name. So if the sewer is adequate, and there's been a guy had a rentals outhouse there for months. The nine units, as far as there's always been illegal activity as far as addition to units on the property. One of the ones they're referring to now is a double wide that was put in the middle. It was brought up in 2014. It's still there. There's been no enforcement. As far as the management and what goes on there and the way it's taken care of, I believe it's an absentee owner. The density, the place is already full. I mean, there's trailers everywhere, there's cars everywhere. I've provided a drone footage that I flew around the property, and to get those roads in there, and as far as indicating how that's going to work, that has not been done. We have orcharding operations around there, myself and other neighbors. And when we talk about a RV use, this thing of 180 days, the problem with this owner is that he doesn't follow any rules, and anything that's allowed to go on there, the way to police that and enforce it would be impossible. He just goes ahead, this permitting of the other. There are people living in the hotel use. I did personally see remodeling going on that and driving by it. So as far as the no improvements and nothing being done, I would dispute that. I'm in the construction industry, and I know when I see construction materials being hauled upstairs and stairs being built, that's untrue. As far as tourist use, that's the furthest thing from this thing. It's basically trying to get people in there, and he leases those units. It's not like transient people coming in. Code violations and electrical. There's tack-ons into the mobile homes, which are a fire problem for exits. And I think the issue as far as the conditional use permit, trying to refer back to this other conditional use, it was rejected before, and trying to tag things on and move into that is a farce for the neighbors there. We have to live around this, and it's a blight basically to the people that have to live there. Should not have to have higher density in that. And there are good people. We're not against people. We're just against the safety concerns and the way that it impacts the neighborhood. Last and final, I would just say that, you know, you can make all sorts of requirements on a person, but this person has proven that he doesn't follow through. And there's all the staff report is pretty much right on the money, I think, for the objections that we have. Thanks for allowing me to testify.
All right, thank you very much for your time. So we've gone through the two that I knew wanted to talk about this matter. Is there anybody else that came to testify about this matter? And if so, you need to unmute yourself and identify yourself.
Mr. Hearing Examiner, this is Marcus Foster on behalf of the county. If I could make a few comments.
Can you wait and make your comments at the end of the public testimony, Mr. Foster?
Of course.
Okay, thank you. Was there any other member of the public that wishes to speak on this matter? I I do see other members of the public here. I don't know if they're here for this matter or for the fish and wildlife matter that we have on next. So I'll give you one last chance. Is there anybody else that wishes to offer any public testimony on this matter? All right. I guess you were as timely as you could be, Mr. Foster. I'm sorry to cut you off. Mr. Can you identify yourself and state who your client is?
Yes, sir. I'm Marcus Foster. I'm a deputy prosecutor, and my client is Chelan County.
All right. And were you going to provide any evidence today or just legal argument?
Well, there may be a few facts thrown in, so I might as well be sworn in.
All right, thank you. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you very much. And again, Mr. Foster, you are here as an agent, an attorney on behalf of Chelan County?
That's correct.
All right, what would you like to tell me, sir?
Well, I'd like to just push back on a few issues that Ms. Norton brought up, but also acknowledge a few things that I think have been done well. As Mr. Adelman stated, this property has been involved in significant nuisance issues. I don't have any police reports on hand, but I am told that there are issues with drugs and other crime type issues on this property. And the county is certainly concerned about those going forward. We truly do hope and are working for a property that's cleaned up and in compliance with the law and doesn't have these issues anymore. I'd like to say that the original 2014 CUP is not what's at issue here. There were significant problems, I believe, with the analysis done in that. There were lacking, they simply missed certain issues. Part of the problem is that I've seen as I've helped guide community development through this process is that it seems that the applicants' applications are a bit of a moving target, where we're getting multiple submissions that are inconsistent. They're poorly drawn, they're unclear where things are. There's simple violations of the law. We had certain things that were way too close to a well. We had a parking that was inconsistent with the use. So we've been working diligently to fix these problems and to work with the applicant here. My fear is that if we have a laundry list of conditions, that these won't be met, but we truly hope they are. So the point of saying that is that we've been working to get things done ahead of time. For example, Mr. Howiter and Ms. Norton have worked diligently to get the health district to sign off on the septic issues. We certainly don't want sewage flowing down the road. That I think those issues have mostly been addressed, but there are certain other issues that we do have concerns with. To the point of the setbacks of the mobile homes, the mobile homes are part of the whole project, and it's important to consider the density, consider that alongside the fence issue, which is a reason in itself for denying the application, because the code says that the department may deny an application if a code enforcement issue is still ongoing. The other concern that I have is exactly reflected in what Mr. Adelman said, which is that these RVs, while not permitted for permanent residency, may be used for permanent residency. And I think there's some evidence that they have been in the past. So there's certainly a number of issues we have, but primarily the reason that the county is recommending denial at this point. We've come into largely into agreement on the major issues, but is just that outstanding code violation issue. The nuisance issues that I talked about play into the consistency with the zone. This is You know, we can call it what it's labeled as, or we can call it what it really is. That there is there's orchards in the area, there's residential uses in the area, but this is there's concern that this is a bit inconsistent with the surrounding uses. All that said, I would like to acknowledge again that Ms. Norton and Mr. Howiter have diligently worked towards correcting a lot of these issues, particularly the fire safety issue, the septic issues. I guess that's all the comments I'd like to give.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Foster. Ms. Strother, is there anything further from staff?
I just like to say that on the site plan, there is no setbacks either for the RV site nor the mobile homes. So they're not shown on the site plan. And then in the narrative or on the site plan, it just shows the cabins and the house. It doesn't show that they're duplexes or triplexes. So that was enlightening when we had meetings with the applicant and Ms. Norton, when we found out that they were duplexes and triplexes.
All right, anything further?
No.
Mr. Kotkamp, Andrew Brunner, Public Works. I'd like to just clarify a couple things from the Public Works perspective on this, if I may.
All right, that's fine. Mr. Brunner, will you be providing evidence and testimony, or?
I'm basically gonna be stating what is required in our conditions. That's, there seems to have been confusion throughout the years of this going on.
I'm going to put you under oath just to be safe. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I did.
All right, thank you very much. All right, Mr. Brunner, and again, you are here on behalf of Chelan County from their Public Works Department?
Correct.
All right, what would you like to tell me?
So early on, I just want to make sure that everyone understands that with the site plans, there was a lot of confusion in some of the earlier iterations as to what was existing, what was to be constructed. And in the last, I'd say two copies that were sent over to us, including the one sent in December, they have clarified, but I want to make sure that the applicant understands that those site plans are representative of what needs to be built, but they need to submit construction plans. If this is approved, they need to submit construction plans for approval, and the roads will need and parking areas will need to be constructed, as well as the access points will need to be constructed once these construction plans are approved, because there was confusion early on that some of those roads in the site plans were listed as existing and showing that they were a certain width, which they were not. So I want to make sure that the applicant's aware of this. Also, I'm not sure, but if the trailers along Red Apple Road are still being accessed via Red Apple Road, that needs to stop. Those accesses were never permitted. If the trailers were permitted back in way back when, in the 90s or whatever, I don't know, but we have no record of any access permits being issued for those trailers. So they all, and in our conditions, we state they must be accessed via the internal road, and there must be some way, we don't tell them how, but some way to stop access from Red Apple Road for those trailers. So I want to make sure that that is clear. That our conditions and what we submitted are in fact our conditions of what needs to happen once this CUP is approved.
All right, thank you very much. All right, does the applicant have anything further?
Yes, Your Honor, if I may just address the public comments and the additional comments from Public Works. The comments on behalf of Dale Jones, there is one pending code violation on the property. There have been prior code violations and they've all been taken care of. The mobile home that's at issue is permitted. It has a permit. That code violation was, or portion of a code violation was clarified. The only existing code violation that we are aware of at this time is there's a 4-foot, 4-inch fence that needs to be 4 feet. The proposal in the landscape plan is to fence the entire property. As part of that new fencing, that would be remediated. So if that is the sole and exclusive reason we're denying it, I could go out there right now and cut 4 inches off.
Why didn't you do that?
Well, we didn't know until this third amended application came out. So
you didn't know about wait. You knew about the code violation. Why didn't he?
The applicant tells me he was not aware of that code violation or that it was a formal code violation. He had met with Public Works earlier and was aware that the fence was too high, but it had not been identified to him as a formal code violation. But I do see it has a number, so I'm not going to dispute it, but he claims that he didn't have notice of that. But regardless, it's getting fixed as part of the approval of the if the application gets approved and construction occurs. Concerning about zoning and water quality, we meet the zone requirements as outlined by my testimony. There is no factor of code section 330 that we don't comply with. Especially as conditioned, the uses can be less impactful to the zone. It's residential, recreation, tourist use in a zone designed for that. And the conditional use process is designed to allow marginally inconsistent uses to locate. He mentioned concern about information that's not been provided that the staff has been asking for. And this goes a little bit to Marcus's comment or Mr. Foster's comment as well, that this applicant has gone above and beyond providing. I've never seen this level of detail, to be honest, in a development conditional use permit at this stage. He's actually been required to get the septic approvals versus just saying as a condition of approval, we'll get this done or we'll have an as-built reviewed. And so to Mr. Bruner's comment, we're 100% aware that this is just the, if you can do it, you can operate. This is just to get the approval to do it. To have all of these, and these have been developed based on surveyed, professionally done plans. So to the extent that there's any confusion as to what's proposed, these are top-notch professional surveys done by Forsgren. They are reporting that there is sufficient space on this property to locate all the elements on the plan. We do agree construction permits will be needed and follow-up approvals will need to be done to confirm everything was built as it's required to. As to any of the concern about the existing use of the property, the bottom line is this applicant's only owned the property for about 12 years. Most of these issues that have occurred, the nuisance and whatnot, was from the 90s and prior ownership. He's fully intended to improve this property and make it better and to actually prevent a lot of these issues, but he's not been able to do it because he can't get the conditional use permit he needs. So the hope is that it actually does clean up. As far as the access, and he is willing to comply with everything, which is evidenced by the fact he's now applied for the same CUP multiple times and is bending over backwards to get everything he possibly can to hit the ground running. I'm not sure why there's confusion as to how access will be prevented from Red Apple Road. The landscape plan very clearly shows the setbacks and the fence. There is proposed to be, and it's detailed in the legend, there's a solid wood fence is projected to be built along the entire property that will prevent access to Red Apple Road. So that will prevent the parking that folks are concerned about. That'll prevent the kids playing in cars that folks are concerned about. Now, again, if the setback is an issue, however, this is where the hearing examiner does have some authority under Chapter 11, 93, 330, 10 to, on a case-by-case basis, decide whether a different level of landscaping or fencing is an option. But the proposal right now is to fence, that area. And it would be a 6-foot fence in that area. So that would resolve those, the water quality irrigation, any failures, septic failures were a long time ago. There haven't been one since. This will be an entirely encased system. It's already been approved. In fact, talk about going above and beyond. He's got the permits in hand essentially from the district, which you usually wouldn't get until you've got the conditional use permit, but that's kind of the effort he's been requested to go through to get this done. Is a lot of the approvals and permits that you wouldn't see until after you have your permit, he's already got them. So we are hopeful that that these measures he will taking will adequately address the concerns of the neighbors, and that they will adequately address all the health and safety. Again, if anyone needs more information, these site plans are professionally done, surveyed, so they, what he's proposing should be capable of occurring.
All right. Anything else from the applicant?
I think that's
the Dunning was permitted.
That's it.
All right, thank you very much. So what I'm gonna do at this point is I am gonna close the public record portion of the hearing. I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. And so I appreciate everybody coming and testifying today on this matter. And we'll now move on to the last item on today's agenda. You're free to stay or you're free to go. The last item on today's agenda is conditional use permit 20-016. This is an application that's been submitted by the Department of Fish and Wildlife for a essential public facility to construct a shooting range on fish and wildlife property in Swaking Canyon that would include other improvements as well. At this time, and by this reference, I'm going to admit into the record that staff report that was prepared for this matter. There have been agency comments that have been submitted in this matter. There are, I was just looking to see if there's any public comments. I didn't remember any and I don't see any. There's the application materials and the applicant's narrative and site plan drawings, noticing documents. I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference and turn this matter over to Mr. Weiss for the staff presentation.
Thank you. So this is an application for a conditional use permit for an essential public facilities used to construct a shooting range on WDFW property in Swatkane Canyon. Access to the subject property is off of Swatkane Canyon Road. Currently, the project is proposed in two phases. Phase one would create a rifle range, and phase two would create a pistol range. And the main goal of the shooting range is to provide recreational opportunities while reducing conflict between the multiple user groups in the area. Community development determined that this application met the definition of essential public facility because it was included as a component in the SLAM Wildlife Master Area Plan, which was developed by DFW through significant public input. And it is also in the public's best interest because it reduces the risk of shooting caused wildfires. It confines lead to one location, which is easier to clean up. And it also provides a more controlled environment for discharge of firearms to occur. This proposal will also provide access for handicapped individuals and users don't incur fees other than the Discover Pass that is required in agency lands. The applicant submitted a site plan on September 21st showing the boundaries of the property in relation to the shooting range as well as the proposed parking area. Public Works does have a condition of approval that includes dedicating additional right-of-way along the Swatkane Road and also constructing the internal access to meet the rural emergency vehicle access and turnaround requirements. And the applicant must also obtain a road approach permit as well. No other comments from local agencies or the public were received. Staff has reviewed the application materials, the comments for consistency with applicable codes and regulations, and as conditions, recommends approval of this CUP 2020-016.
All right, thank you very much. Before we turn on to the applicant, Mr. Bruner, was there anything you wanted to add about this matter?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, thank you. So we'll turn to the applicant now. Is the applicant ready to proceed?
I am, yes.
All right, can you state your name and an address, work address for the record?
Yes, my name is Stephanie Coons, and my work address is 600 Capitol Way North in Olympia. The zip code is 98501.
All right, Ms. Coons, would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you very much. And you are here as an agent authorized to appear and speak on behalf of the applicant and property owner?
Correct, yes.
All right, what would you like to tell me?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Alex and everybody else who has devoted a significant amount of time to this project. I really appreciate the responsiveness and help that both myself and several other people in the department were given through this application process. So I just wanted to note how fantastic everyone has been to work with. Second, I would like to state that I do have two other representatives from the Department of Fish and Wildlife who are here today, to whom I may defer should there be any questions or clarifications that are beyond my capacity. And those are Mr. Ron Fox, who is the Wildlife Area Manager, and Mr. Lane Sater, who is the project manager for this development project. With that, we do have two things to chat about. There were two conditions of the conditional use permit, one being the need for a fuel reduction zone to reduce the likelihood of wildfires sparked by shooting. And that is something that we can absolutely do and are planning on doing. The second condition regarding the right-of-way is something that unfortunately we cannot do at this time. The road appears to be maintained by the United States Forest Service, so it is out of our jurisdiction. And if it were a road that was maintained by WDFW, because this is a property that is effectively owned by the public of Washington, the residents, this is public land, there is no way that we could deed the property to a right-of-way without going through a significant and very long public comment period and public process. So that's not something that we are able to do. I do also have some discussion from one of our surveyors with the Department of Fish and Wildlife and one of the Chelan County Public Works surveyors, I believe. His name is Mark Seely, I may be completely butchering his last name, so my apologies. But Mr. Seely has said that the maps show that the proposed shooting range is outside of what the county maintains. And the road in front of our range is maintained by the U.S. Forest Service, who currently maintains a 60-foot easement.
So is the road 60 feet wide or is it just a 60-foot easement?
I believe it's just a 60-foot easement, but that is not something I am 100% certain of. If either Ron Fox or Lane Sater knows for certain, I invite you to chime in.
This is Ron Fox and the easement.
Okay, I'm gonna have to have you state an address for me and then I'm gonna put you under oath.
Okay. 3860 Highway 97A North, Wenatchee, Washington.
All right, Mr. Fox, I'm going to have you raise your right hand for me. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, thank you very much. Now, what would you like to tell me?
That is a Forest Service road, and they do have an easement. I've never seen it, but it's there. Forest Service maintains it occasionally. And the width of the road varies along its length. Some places it's 10 feet wide. Some places it's 20, 30 feet wide. This depends on the topography of where the road lies.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Mr. Fox?
I don't think so. Not at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. Ms. Coons, is there anything else from the applicant?
No, that's it.
I note for the record that I do not see anybody else from the public at this hearing today. Mr. Bruner, do you want to offer any comment on the applicant's indication why they can't transfer right away to the road?
Sure. I don't know if that, you know, my comments be very helpful, but and I'd have to defer to Mark Seeley on whatever conversation he had, because I'm not aware of that conversation or what he may have told them. But my understanding through review of the project is the portion of the road that their property fronts is a county, unmaintained county road. If the right-of-way is deficient, I'll leave it up to legal to determine whether how that can be granted or if it's even necessary. I would defer that to Eric and to higher entities to determine if that condition can be waived. But it's, if you're transferring property that's owned by the public by one entity to a county right of way that's owned by the public by another entity, doesn't seem like to me, I mean, other than typical bureaucratic red tape, why that would be such a big issue. But I don't know that it's a stopping issue anyway. Like I said, I'll defer to Eric. I don't think it's a huge deal.
I'm going to either Mr. White, I'm looking for that. Here it is. Condition 10.2. Okay.
And I would like to state in response to Mr. Bruner that because this is for the entire public of Washington, not just the local area, because people do travel to our different wildlife areas, it would need to go through that significant public process where the public is allowed to comment for probably a minimum of 30 days. And as such, with needing to go through that public comment period and the entire public process and going before the Fish and Wildlife Commission, the need to do the right-of-way transfer would effectively kill this project. We would not be able to do it within the constraints of the funding for which we have received for it.
So Andy, looking at our mapping that as part of the file of record, it is showing that the segment of road of Swan King Canyon Road through that portion of the project is indeed Forest Service Road.
Okay. Whether I make a finding on that or not, I'll defer till I look at the evidence again. And regarding proposed condition of approval 10.2, I may modify it just to indicate if it turns out that this is a county road, then I'll have to determine about the right-of-way. The fact that there is, according to Mr. Seeley, 60-foot easement along the road, that the road is located on a 60-foot easement, may be significant itself. All right, so is there anything further from the applicant?
No, thank you.
Anything further from county?
Nope, not from me.
Thank you. Mr. White, anything further?
Nothing further, but if you do need me to look into the issue a little bit more, just let me know.
I'm sorry, I missed that part.
If you do need me to look into the right-of-way issue a little bit more, just let me know.
Okay. All right. Well, but at this time, what I'm going to do is I am going to close the public record portion of the hearing. If I need to reopen it for additional study after I get through looking at everything, I can do that on my own with notice to everybody. But at this point, I'm going to close the public record portion of this hearing, and I'll plan to have my decision out within the next 10 working days. There are no other items on today's agenda, so I'm now going to adjourn this January 6, 2021 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. And thank you all very much for coming. This meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.